And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 433 of the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone. Here we are live and living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. I'm so happy to have a great night with you all. This is fun as always, exciting as always. And we're going to have some fun as we always do here on the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. All right, so look, it's been a crazy, crazy evening. I'm so glad that we were able to, I'm able to just get everything together with you. Still some kinks, you know, to unravel. But at the same time, we're having a really good time here at the Pancakes of Power Slam Show. My power run out right before, my power went out. It was crazy. So I have to prepare for two shows every week. Yes, he did. And you know how it is, Mike. He apologized during the show. I tell all of my guests no profanity, and you know, he just went in and he's like, "Oh, oops." So, but yeah, I'm happy that I'm a bit flustered because my power went out. Like right before, not too far from before the show started. So just a crazy few hours has been going on. And I was like, oh man, I still got to prepare for both shows, because I have to prepare for two shows every week now. I have to prepare for the unscripted show for Sports Kita. And then right after that, I have to prepare for PNP. So it was crazy. And then Shane was, you know, there were some things going on with Shane, and he finally was able to jump on. So, but I'm here with the PNP Nation, and we're having lots of fun. What's going on, Marissa? What's going on, Shane? Quis checking in from Nashville, Tennessee. I love Nashville, Tennessee. I've been in Nashville, Tennessee once. Yes, and I loved it. It was awesome. Yes, I did hear about Rusev and COVID. We are going to be talking about that. And we're going to talk about Extreme Rules predictions. Predictions. Brendan, it's going well, man. It's going well. Thank you, Gabriel. Appreciate it, man. Elvis is here. He wanted to make sure that everybody knows that he's here. He wanted to make sure of that. But, you know, Elvis is a weekly. Elvis is the man. And Elvis is a part of making the PNP show fun every single week. Keith Lee and Big E for the world title. No, I wouldn't say both of them against each other. I think both of them should be world champion. And within the next year, both of them should win the world title. Or you know what I would do? I would have Big E win it probably SummerSlam of next year. Perhaps. No, because I would have Keith Lee win. Because I wrote an article on Sports Kita. Keith Lee, I want Keith Lee to win the whole thing. I want him to win the Royal Rumble, and I want him to win. I want him to be Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble and at WrestleMania. I want him to be the WrestleMania. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I want. And I wrote an article about it, and I was so serious about it, and I still am serious. So, a few of these headlines are already here. So this is what we'll do. We're going to kind of freestyle it tonight as far as the PNP Nation. Just have some fun, some Ask Chris questions. It's just me tonight. My boy Evan Tech Prout is not feeling well. He will be here next week. So we're going to do some Ask Chris questions. We're going to do some headline stuff. We're going to do a fan's choice headlines. I'm going to scrap the programming except for, you know, of course, the sections. So we're still going to have the flavor of the week as far as, you know what? As a matter of fact, I want to have I'm gonna have you guys pick the flavor of the week. The patron members, you know, you get first dibs on choosing the flavor of the week. Go there, patreon.com/pancakesandpowerslams. You get first dibs on choosing the flavor of the week topics. We're gonna freestyle it tonight for the most part. You know, it's kind of like a structured freestyle. So we're gonna do some Ask Chris questions. Stream rules predictions at the end, Raw and SmackDown review, of course. And then, you guys choose the flavor of the week question when it's time for the flavor of the week. And so we're going to do a headline, just a freestyle headlines. I like it. I think that's what we're going to do. I'm just going to freestyle the headlines tonight, and we're going to have a lot of fun because there's a couple I already saw that I was going to talk about. So that's awesome. PNP Nation, what else y'all doing? What else y'all at? Yes, Desmond. So you know, this is Pancakes and Power Slam. This is the 433rd show of PNP. So as of this is the third week, as of 3 weeks ago, Sports Kita actually okay, so Pancakes and Power Slam is my baby. It's my empire. So it's 2 hours. So Sports Kita actually gave me a pretty nice deal to, because every week I have an interview at the first quarter of my show, the first half hour. So what they did was they brought me back. I was there a few years back as a feature columnist. So basically I'm a senior analyst there now. So I write articles and I edit, and we had a nice agreement, a nice lucrative agreement to actually take my interviews to Sports Kita. And we have coined our own name that I came up with. I'm still the one bringing in the names every week, contacting the people, bringing the names every week. And so the first quarter of Pancakes and Power Slams has now been bought by Sports Kita. And now that is Sports Kita's Unscripted with Chris Featherstone. So that is the interview portion of PNP. It has now been shifted over to Sports Kita at 11 o'clock every week. So 11 to 1 is PNP, but 11 to 11:30 now is Sports. It's Unscripted, and then 11:30 to 1 is PNP. So that's how it goes. Gabe was asking, what are my thoughts on the state of Impact right now? Ask me that question after Saturday. Right now, I just haven't really, there's just not so much in Impact Wrestling right now that has kept my interest for a long time, honestly. Now, if you want some just good action, Impact's, you know, the way to go. I just wasn't a fan of Tessa Blanchard being a champ, and that pushed me off really. I've always been a fan of Moose, though. So, I mean, it's like there's some people in there that, you know, that I'm pulling for. I'm still buddies with a few people that are in Impact. I'm still cool with some backstage talent, some backstage names. So, you know, and I'm glad it's an alternative brand too. I mean, if Impact didn't exist, you wouldn't have the tease of all the other people going there, you know, come Slammiversary. If Impact didn't exist, that wouldn't even be a thing. And not all of them was going to just do a mass exodus to AEW. So it's good that Impact is around, actually. So I definitely give them kudos for that. Yeah, absolutely. I want Lee to win the Rumble and beat Brock. Yep. That's like I said, I wrote an article about that. I want him to win the Rumble and to beat Brock at WrestleMania. Ronnie, no, I don't want this. I want Big E to turn full-blown evil heel, beat up everyone, even Kofi, and then call him out Lesnar. Loser leaves WWE. See, Lesnar does not need to be a babyface. He does not need to be any type of underdog. Lesnar is good right now as a heel. A heel is what he needs to stay. Because right now, it's WWE desperately needs to put people over. And Lesnar being a heel is the way to go with that, for sure. Big E doesn't need to turn heel. He's a baby face by nature. He's a lovable character. He has that Ricky Steamboat type of quality to him. Like, there's no need for him to turn him heel. He's been heel before. It flatlined. His last heel run was just flat. So, I mean, you know, he's just a fun loving guy. The announcements, people love Big E. So strike while the iron's hot. You know, there's no need to make him heel. And the thing is, the New Day is going in as a unit. So no need to turn him face. I mean, no need to turn him heel, because what you do is there's no need to split the New Day either. Like, you can have different singles runs and still be a unit, still be the New Day. You know, the NWO, you know what I mean? Like Hogan, Hall, and Nash initially, they weren't, they were all together, but at the same time, it's not like they were doing trios matches all the time. They were distinct characters. And so you can still be a part of the New Day. I mean, although Hall and Nash were still the outsiders, they were still distinct characters. And so it's not necessary to always be in tag matches for the New Day. So, you know, I'd be totally fine with Big E being champ, Kofi and Xavier being tag champs, or Xavier being a U.S. title. I still would like to see a singles run with Xavier. Xavier having like a U.S. title and Kofi and Big E being a part of the tag team, or all do singles. I mean, like, it's not necessary for them to break up in order to have a good singles or tag run. Alonso's asking, who should Keith Lee lose the NXT North American title to? He doesn't need two belts, even though he deserves it. I think he should keep the two belts for a while, but I'd be cool with him losing the North American championship to Karrion Kross. Certainly. Yes, Antoine. This is my guy. Fellow patron member here. So, Antoine, you get to pick the Flavor of the Week topic for today, actually. What else I got? I got some good stuff, as always, on the PNP Nation. Absolutely. Always. Aaron agrees. WWE needs to put people over and have faith in them. Yep, absolutely. Mike is asking, on a scale of 1 to 10, how boring is Drew as WWE champ right now? See, here's the thing, man. Tom and Jimmy cut a pretty dope promo on Moose a few weeks back on Impact. Yeah, I heard about that. Somebody said something about that. I think it was Bully. Yeah, I think it was Bully Ray that said something about that on Busted Open Radio. I heard it was good. I'm gonna check that out. On a scale from 1 to 10, how boring is Drew as WWE champ right now? Okay. And I've said this on the show, like, Drew is in my top five, easily in my top five right now. Period. Big fan of Drew. He's been on the show before. We've talked a bunch of times. He's a super nice dude. Just I'm fully behind the Drew machine for sure. No fault of his own. I just think that he's a babyface, and I'm totally fine with him being a babyface. I just don't think a babyface should be champ at this time, and I still stand by that because we're seeing it with the numbers. It's nothing to do with Drew McIntyre. I'm totally cool with the countdown, the Claymore. I'm fine with all that. I think that the fact that they're having him as a babyface run through heels is very – it makes no sense to me, zero sense to me. You're running through Rollins' show. Show's a babyface again now. Rollins' show, Lashley, about to be Ziggler. So you're just running through these gamut of names. Over the past few months, you know, 3 months since you've been champ. And it's like, that's doesn't make sense. Why would a babyface be champ right now during COVID when you have little to no people in the arena? The money is in the chase. The intrigue is in the chase. With the heel, with the babyface chasing the championship, that will cause more intrigue as far as television is concerned. When you have a babyface as champ, there's no chase and you don't have the momentum of the energy of the crowd to make the moment look cool and feel cool. That's the good thing. That's the thing about babyfaces being champs. You have your Hogans, your Warriors, your Stings. You have those larger than life babyface characters, and what helps them keep their title run relevant is fans. So when a babyface is champ, they should be champ because they're defying the odds. The fans are getting behind them. They're, you know, when Austin was champ because, you know, an awesome thing about Austin being champ was he defied the odds, and that, and he got backing from the fans. He got that fan support as the underdog, anti-hero, so to speak. Drew McIntyre needs to be chasing, and that's what really got him into becoming a babyface was the fans. The fans actually turned him over because he was doing some things that were cool. And because of that, the fans turned him over to a babyface, which I'm totally cool with. But it doesn't make any sense at all to me that a babyface is keeping the title during this time. I wrote in an article, Bobby Lashley should be champ. Allow him to be champ until Survivor Series. I think Survivor Series in November, I think that's a good gauge of when we'll start getting at least a few hundred people back into arenas, like having a really nice full sale feel to it. At least I'd imagine projecting those numbers. And I think, you know, 4 months from now is a good gauge of saying, okay, we're going to have Lashley keep the title until Survivor Series. And that's when he'll win. I said, you know, my projection is that Bobby Lashley should beat Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam. And as people start to trickle back in, as hopefully and prayerfully cases reduce, good news, that was recorded recently within the past few days, New York, who's been hit by COVID the most, actually had a day where they reported no COVID deaths. So hopefully that's a good sign. That's a good kind of barometer of where we're heading as far as the reduction. We're still at 0.5% last time I checked, which was about last week. And so that's still a very low number as far as the ratio is concerned, the case to death ratio. Most of the reports are most case. They're not really talking about deaths as much. We're talking about case. And so my hope is that with these numbers, with this pattern, we'll start having people back in by, Survivor Series, which is 4 months. So what you do is you have Lashley beat Lesnar. I mean, yeah, you have Lashley beat McIntyre, not because of anything to do with McIntyre, but because you need a baby. You need a heel to be champ right now. You need a baby face to champ. You need that cliffhanger. You need that, we've got to go one at a time. You need that Tony Schiavone, Crow Sting back in 97, Monday Nitro. Sting comes down the Raptors and points his bat to the whole NWO. The crowd goes wild because the heroes here to save the day. You need that type of feel. And the fans will do that, but you need the intrigue as well. It was very intriguing. The Nitro had the best cliffhangers in the whole wide world. You would have Tony Schiavone saying that, and I loved Nitro. The Monday Night Wars time Nitro for, you know, in 2000. I'll say about it, like from 96 to 99 was a really good Nitro era to me. 95 was still, it was okay. It didn't start until September 95 anyways, but 96 to 99 was a really good Nitro era to me. Let's see. What else we got? PNP Nation. Hashtag Axe Chris. That's the one that stands out. Like Kyle's here. Would Ziggler getting a cheap heel win and becoming champ really be a bad thing? Drew with the chip on his shoulder is better than what we he is now. No, there's, you know, Drew, I said this before, Drew is a fantastic, fantastic talent, fantastic talent. But I see, I mean, it would demote the championship so much in this, I mean, so you talk about record low numbers and breaking records with ratings, and Drew was champ, and people wanted Drew to be champ. And if they're doing so bad with Drew, I mean, just think about Dolph Ziggler being booked to handle this COVID situation as champ. Oh my goodness. Absolutely not. No way. No way. No way. That would be a disaster. Alonzo's asking, what about Bronny's babyface champ right now? Do you feel the same about him as you do? Not so much because Braun, I still think a heel should be champ, but at least with Braun, though, he's still playing an underdog role. He's playing an underdog role to Bray. So he's still having that chase type of feel to him. So it's not as bad as Drew, because Drew was just, and he should be looking dominant. That's the thing. Drew should be looking dominant. So it's a catch 22. You know what I mean? Because Drew should be looking absolutely dominant. I totally agree with that. But at the same time, Drew should be chasing, you know what I mean? And it's a catch 22. What else we got? Ask Chris, I was hoping Taz was going to announce he's managing Tessa. Thoughts on the FTW belt? Only non-championship belt over, in my opinion, Mendel belt. Yeah, I was a huge ECW fan, and the FTW championship was amazing. And it's funny because that was over 20 years ago when FTW championship debuted. And a lot of the current, like, it looks like the 24/7 championship. Like that's the pretty cool part of it. Like it has that type of structure to the 24/7 championship. So, and I think it's cool. I think it's cool. I think the problem is that I think it's pretty clear that Moxley's going to keep the title, which I think Cage should be champ. But I mean, I think it's a good secondary championship. It looks way better than a TNT championship. I mean, way better than a TNT championship. So if they defend it, I'm cool with it. I mean, right now you have a pretty loaded roster. So I think the FTW championship is kind of like, it's kind of like the U.S. championship in a sense. You know what I mean? I would make it a shade over, but I would make it more of a hardcore championship though. And so I think in prestige, it looks better. But what you should do is I think you should have kind of a hardcore championship type of look to it, but not it always be sanctioned hardcore matches, but more of a hardcore feel to it. I think the FCW championship should be the resident hardcore championship for AEW. So you like, I think Darby Allin would be a fantastic FTW championship because it has that ECW hardcore feel to it. And I think the Darby Allins, the Joey Janelas, you know, when Jimmy Havoc, when he comes back, those type of feel to it, I think that would be cool, you know, for like that type of hardcore division would be pretty cool, I think. And Brian Cage is definitely a good person to have that initially. So I'm definitely cool with that. Remind me of the Extreme Rules predictions. I will probably forget because I don't really care about it. There you go. Trivia, what team defeated Daniel Bryan and Kane to win the WWE Tag Team Championships at Extreme Rules 2013? Which team defeated Daniel Bryan and Kane to win the WWE Tag Team Championship at Extreme Rules 2013? All right. What else you got? Hashtag Ask Chris. I do see my dude Dez. Do you think Braun will drop the title to The Fiend at SummerSlam? Yes, I do. It seems like Braun will have to go through all the phases of Bray. Yeah, I think The Fiend will take it. I think eventually we'll see Fiend and Bray. So I think Fiend will beat Braun at SummerSlam, and then he'll probably keep it until Royal Rumble and Mania. We might see Reigns and Fiend at Mania. We were supposed to see it this year at Mania, but I was totally fine with Reigns and Bray and Goldberg. It was much more of a marquee match than Reigns and Bray was going to be. So yeah, I to me honestly, for the Rumble, I mean for Mania, I'm still not sold on Reigns and Bray. I'm still not sold on it as a Mania match. If I had it my way, it would be Rock beating Bray at the Rumble and winning the title, and then Reigns beating Rock for the title. For the Universal Championship at Mania. I mean, you got to go all the way out. You got to have that big marquee feel to it. So I'd be totally fine. And Reigns and Rock doesn't have to be for a title, by the way. I'd be totally cool if it wasn't for a championship. But I think the championship brings more of an element to it. But if it wasn't for the championship, I'd be fine with that. I want to see Reigns and Rock at Mania. I think that has a much more marquee feel to it than Reigns and Bray. That doesn't have a big marquee feel to it to me. Again, hashtag Ask Chris. I do see this one though, David. What about Tessa Blanchard coming? Welcome David to the PMP Nation. Y'all, welcome David to the show. Looks like he's a first timer. So we give our PMP Nation. We're a family here. So every time we see a first timer, we give our first timer some love. So welcome, David, to the PMP Nation family. What about Tessa coming to WWE? What's your thoughts? Or any other first timers, let me know so we can show you some love. What about Tessa Blanchard coming to WWE? What's your thoughts with everything going with her? Should she be getting a second chance this quick? I think Tessa should go to AEW because her father's in AEW. I think she needs to stay humble and be in NXT for a while. I'll be totally cool with Tessa, being in NXT for a while. I would make her a heel. I like the idea of Tessa versus Rhea Ripley. I really like that idea, actually. I would make Tessa a heel, like a dominant heel. And I think I'll be on board with Tessa, Ripley, no paths yet, no paths cross. I'd be cool with Tessa winning the title late in the year, probably the takeover before Survivor Series. Tessa winning the title. And then her being a dominant heel, and Tessa versus Rhea Ripley at TakeOver Mania weekend for the title. Tessa and Rhea Ripley is my match, my women's NXT match for the TakeOver before Mania. What else we got? Hashtag Ask Chris. Gabriel's asking, I was first. Did you see the new WWE made of Eddie Guerrero? WWE made of it. Clarify that a little bit more for me, Elvis. Sasha's my girl, says Gabriel. But do you think WWE shouldn't have all the women's title and just two women, assuming Sasha wins on Sunday? See, I don't think she's going to win. That's a spoiler alert for my predictions. I think Asuka's going to win. She better win because finally they had an opportunity. They're having an opportunity to make her like a thing again, and they should capitalize on that 100%. So she should 100% do that. Don't have her win. on Pillman against Pillman Jr. See, Pillman Jr. is a good person to defend the FTW championship. And I think AEW Dark's a good place to defend that title too. I'm cool with that. Totally. And to hone into your question a little bit more. Yes. Good job, Mo. Good job, Desmond. The Shield is the correct answer. That is correct. Let me get this out of here. Next. CM Punk competed against Chris Jericho in a blank what type of match at Extreme Rules 2012. What else we got? Marissa's asking, what do I look forward to the most at Extreme Rules this Sunday? Nothing. I really, if I had to pick something, I think Sasha and Asuka is going to be a good match. Perhaps the theatrics of Bray and Braun. I mean, they're talking about a swamp match, so I would hope that they were going to have some type of something. Last time we saw something like that was the Wyatt family against the New Day, and it was like, it definitely looked like a Ultimate Deletion or Final Deletion ripoff. So hopefully that doesn't have that feel. What else we got? Hashtag Ask Chris. Oh, the Undertaker chapters are fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Love them. Love them. Absolutely. What Cena contract expire? Brennan's asking, do I see Cena focusing on acting? Do I see him as a few more years? And oh, he's been focused on acting for a while. I mean, he's been a part-timer for the past couple of years now. 18, I was at 34 in New Orleans, and they both really were him and Taker were part-timers at that point. So he's Hollywood, man. Cena's Hollywood. So I'll see a few more appearances. I think he'll do several appearances for the years and maybe even focusing on the match, just like he did with Wyatt, to put him over. But anything else? Nah, man. He's Hollywood. He's Hollywood. Hollywood. Yep, good job, guys. Chicago Street Fight. Very good. Very good. Very good. Great job, everybody. We'll have more trivia, time permitting. Shane is asking, I've lost all hope in WWE. To me, the writing is terrible. They're wasting talent such as Andrade, Aleister Black, etc. Do I see hope on WWE returning to greatness? Okay. Let's first start off with when was the last time WWE was great? Oh my goodness. I've watched professional wrestling since the mid-80s. WWE was great in the mid-80s, the late 80s, because of the larger than life characters. WWE was great. New Gen. I liked New Gen. That was more of the Bret Hart Undertaker. Early Undertaker, Bret Hart, Flair run. That was a good spot. Although they had a bunch of corny characters. 90, like going into the beginning of Raw was New Gen too. So New Gen was until the Monday Night Wars. Oh, I'd say probably until about like 96. 95 is when New Gen ended. Maybe the Monday Night Wars. Attitude Era was, I still think it was overrated, but it was good. I think Top Level, I've said this before, I think Top Level was really good, but mid-card level, decent. The D-Lows, the Val Venuses, Six Pac, Jericho going from back and forth, Eddie Guerrero test. Those were good mid-carders. So Attitude Era was decent. I think I didn't like the booking when it came to Hotshot, the championships. I think it was too, I think the raunchiness was just over the top. I think that the hotshotting the titles, like I said, was too much. Sometimes the characters were just too way off, like Dust, like the artist formerly known as Goldust and all that. And, you know, all that was so it really had its, it had its good and it had its bad. I think people think of Attitude Era as, you know, the GOAT because of the Monday Night Wars and because of Austin Rock and Taker and Foley and Triple H and, you know, star studded for sure. But there was a lot of bad things about the Attitude Era too. That was that people oftentimes look over because of the star power that was on the top. So I say it's overrated in that sense. I was a big Ruthless Aggression fan. You know, Randy Orton, Cena, and Batista. That was the class of 2002. And Brock. Those four were the class of 2002. Going from developmental to main roster. That's probably the best. Well, it's one of the best class years in pro wrestling history for sure. And that was during Ruthless Aggression. Angle became really his own as far as a solid standalone main eventer during Ruthless Aggression. Edge became his own during Ruthless Aggression. Jericho continued to hone his character during Ruthless Aggression. And by Ruthless Aggression, I'm talking post, post-war. So I would say probably, 2000, you know, of course, 2002, June 2002 episode of Raw, after the split, you know, what was it? Vince McMahon cut the promo with all the wrestlers. You know, you got to have Ruthless Aggression. And then Cena on the following SmackDown, you know, that's when he had his moment against Angle. So that was 2002. So 2002 to about 2000, I would say 2002 to about 2006 or 7 was solid. And then I don't know. I think heavily emphasizing Cena during RA, the latter part of RA was not very good because it was like super Cena, and I was I didn't like it at all. Good questions, guys. So any hope to WWE returning to greatness? My hope is when they push people like Keith Lee and Bianca Belair to the moon. I think that's the thing. You have to push these people to the moon. You have to push them to the moon. I mean, that's how is that? When has that not worked as far as developing a big star? I mean, if you think about it, let's go through the list here. Hogan, had a few years when he came to WWE in 83, within weeks, you know, he was world champ beating Iron Sheik. So dude was shot up to the moon, and was beating, hardly ever lost. That was huge and became a megastar. Flair, he lost a lot, but at the same time, he was still heavily pushed. Title after title after title after title, was still had that main event flair to him, main event feel to him. He was still heavily pushed, regardless of not being champ. He was still heavily pushed. and he was a heel, so he's supposed to lose. So he made people look good losing, and that's a really good heel. You get all the heat, you pass the heat on, you make the babyface look good. That is a tried and true heel. That's why Ric Flair is the greatest heel of all time. And so he was over. Ultimate Warrior, pushed to the moon. Hall of Famer because of that. Goldberg, pushed to the moon. I mean, it's like Austin, you know what I mean? Yes, he had his ringmaster gimmick, but when he became Stone Cold, the push kept going. The WrestleMania with Bret Hart helped. And then when he was Austin, push. I mean, his win-loss record was very lopsided. Lopsided. Taker, you know, within a year of debuting, became champion. So, I mean, Kurt Angle, within a year, like he debuted Survivor Series of 99, and that was November of 99, and October of 2000, he became world champ. So that's how you build stars. You push them to the moon, and that's how you do it. But we got all this 50-50 booking. You don't know who's what. So it's like that you make stars by having dominant heels and putting over baby faces. Right now, the two people that WWE should be focusing on, you have ready-made talent. You have two names, ready-made talent. You have Keith Lee, you have Bianca Belair. Those two names should be primed and ready. You should be strapping the rockets on them right now. I just talked to Barry Horowitz on the phone today. You should be patting on the back, getting those rockets strapped up, ready to go. Those two names should be pushed to the moon. You should have Keith Lee and Bianca Belair as two of the biggest baby faces in all of WWE, period. They both are super charismatic, super over. When Bianca Belair, I mean, she's a total package. You want to see her. Like, she's one of those type of people that will make you turn your head and watch the product. If you're super bored and doing something, she has the music. She has the twirl. She skips to the ring. She's super athletic. She has really good mic work. And she's the total package. Keith Lee, he needs to work on his promo a bit. But as far as athleticism, charisma, total, you know, he's got it all. Minus the promo. I would sharpen the promo up a bit. I think that still has to be developed. But, I mean, those are the two names. If you want to make WWE great again, you push baby faces to the moon like you did Austin, like you did Rock, and like you did Taker. And what you do is you make Keith Lee and Bianca Belair both win the Royal Rumbles. And then you have Keith Lee versus Brock. You have Bianca Belair versus Charlotte. I would have Charlotte Flair be the champ because you want to heal, or Shayna Baszler even. Although Shayna Baszler is just not, her presence on the main roster is boo-boo. It's just straight up boo-boo. Straight up boo-boo. So I don't think she's a good enough heel to really make Bianca go over. I think Charlotte Flair, you don't even go here. that would be really good to do that. That would be really funny. So Mania, if you want to make stars, if you want to make WWE great again, at WrestleMania, you have Keith Lee versus Brock Lesnar, Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair, and you can even have, you can do a Drew. I predicted Drew Orton at Mania. So my Mania would be Keith Lee versus, you have your Roman Rock. I think that would be good, Roman Rock. You have Roman Rock, you have Keith Lee and Brock, you have Bianca and Charlotte, and you have Drew and Randy Orton. You're making, you just made all those stars there. And I would be a huge fan of that. That's how you make it great again. You make people look big, larger than life. Yes. Chris said boo boo. Hashtag boo boo. Hashtag boo boo. Oh, absolutely. See, and that was one of the things that really put him on the map as far as, you know, like he was super over. I'm glad WWE gave him that opportunity too, for sure. See, I don't want him to be the next Mark Henry, because Mark Henry was good, but Mark Henry, see, the thing is, a lot of times people, and we see this a lot historically, a lot of times people push up people's legacy, and we tend to gloss over all of the bad things. There's a lot of bad things that has gone on in one's legacy. Mark Henry, again, I was a huge proponent of Mark Henry, but the dude got jobbed a whole lot throughout his career. Yes, he has some peaks, but I mean, dude, I mean, you remember when he was a part of the team Apple with Santino and, oh gosh, I don't even remember who else was a part of that Apple faction. I'm going to find out. It was one of the stupidest things of all time. Allied people powered by loathing everything you stand for. Daniel Bryan, Evan Bourne, Santino Marella, and a strawberry-dressed Mark Henry that just was it was horrible. It was April 11th of 2011. Absolutely terrible. That, and he was teaming up with MVP. That had potential, but that was like, meh. And then, you know, he was, they had him with Ryback, feuding with Ryback, and he actually beat Ryback in WrestleMania. And then that led to nowhere. And then, jobbing out over the latter part of his career, super jobbing out. I mean, there was a lot of parts of Mark Henry's career that just wasn't good. Again, I was totally I love the fact that they were pushing him, but WWE shafted him a lot. His last singles match was February 13, 2017. Got destroyed by Braun Strowman. He was part of the Andre and the Greatest Battle Royal, but he beat Titus. He beats they won, and then him and the Golden Truth beat the Shining Stars. Rusev. I remember Rusev beat him up. I mean, like, I'm looking at his. Sheamus was losing against Sheamus. Lost to Big E. It was teaming up with Darren Young for a while, Jack Swagger, just random teams. I mean, he wasn't booked as a main eventer for a lot. I mean, the final part of the years of his career. I'm looking at his match list, and for a while, for a number of years, he wasn't really booked as. I mean, 2015 lost to Rusev in less than 5 minutes. Lost to King Barrett and Stardust when he was teaming up with R-Truth, you know. So it's for years that I mean he wasn't really booked as a huge main event name. So yeah, I want Keith Lee to be a star. Like I want him to be a bona fide staple main event star. Like I want him to be a mega star. Mark Henry totally deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but Mark Henry was never a mega star. Keith Lee should be that for sure. Um, No, Shayna on NXT was good. Shayna on the main roster is boo boo. Boo. Hall of Pain, Mark Henry was the best. Yeah. But that wasn't very long. Yes. Yes, indeed. Saved his legacy for sure. Sam and Color retirement promo was very good, but it led to him losing against Cena. I mean, so again, it didn't lead to anything. I mean, you know, what do you say? You think you can beat me? I got a lot left in the tank. You think it was that easy? I got a lot left in the tank. And so that was great. One of his biggest, you know, times. A lot of, it's always funny that promo, I saw it coming. A lot of people thought it was, I was like, yeah, I bet you he's going to turn on him. Because it just came off from nowhere. It's just kind of weird. It was odd. But all that to lose to Cena. So still, he still wasn't known as a huge name. All right, let's get into some headlines. I see some headlines. So type in hashtag headlines. I'll do three headlines and talk about the, actually I'll do a couple of them of what the headlines of things that are going on right now. So do hashtag headlines and we will talk about them. So now for the new headlines, here we go. All right, hashtag headlines, and then we'll get into some flavor of the week. Justin, no, I don't. Justin, you're a first timer. Welcome, Justin. If you're a first timer, you know I'm giving first timers some love. Cassidy versus Jericho, that's a good one. It was good, but it was a bad main event to opposite Keith Lee versus Adam Cole. I mean, you know, it was decent. There was some. It was a good match. I think there was some Cassidy-isms that didn't really still kind of reeled him back into a gimmicky character. So you don't do a retirement speech in Grand Rapids, Michigan. All right, hashtag headlines. Oh, James, that's a good question. Do you see the Radicals ever getting WWE Hall of Fame? Never, because Bray Wyatt. Do you see Nancy McMahon getting Hall of Fame one day? A good question, James. Radicals, nope. Guerrero's already in there. I don't see Saturn. Maybe Malenko, but I don't see Saturn going, and I don't see Chris going. Nancy was actually a flavor of the week topic we had a long time ago. When I interviewed Conan, I think the show that I interviewed Conan, the Pancakes and Power Slams episode that I interviewed Conan, I think I talked about Nancy Benoit in the Hall of Fame. I think she should go in the Hall of Fame. I'm not confident that she will be. All right, headlines. Brendan, Sonny arrested again. Yeah. So she's arrested and incarcerated. You know, she had some controversial tweets going on a while ago during the BLM stuff. And, you know, she got a lot of backlash by it, behind it. And, man, I mean, she is a She kind of, she decided to try to clean it up, but the damage was done at that time. So, I mean, she needs some divine intervention, man. You know, I mean, you know me as a strong Christian. I will gladly minister to her via some podcast or some type of intervention show that I do. But man, my prayers go out to Sunny for sure, because she stays in acting up for sure. Unfortunately, very unfortunate. Let's see what other headlines we got. Hashtag headlines. Brian, Robert Stone tease adding Melina to a stable. Do you see her coming back? I like Melina and Aaliyah as a duo. I like that. I like Robert Stone's gimmick. I think they should make him less kind of slapsticky. When he first came with Chelsea Green, I think that was a good call. I think that made Chelsea Green look good. He should kind of go back to that. Now, I understand that they're bringing character to him, but, you know, he's like a whipping boy now, and I don't think Robbie E should be that. So I think he should bring a few more people to his brand. I'd be cool with that. I'd be cool with that. Future Sasha and Bayley. What was the headline for that? I mean, am I missing the headline for that? Of what's going on, current events. I think the future Sasha and Bayley is a eventual match, but not quite sure. Helping bring the mask to WWE. I think that's a good call, especially with all these COVID deaths. I mean, COVID cases. Thank God we haven't seen, we haven't heard of any reported deaths. And Caleb Braxton had it twice. Yikes. And Renee announced that she's fully recovered from it. Thank God. What another hashtag headline? Slammiversary debuts. I mean, from what I can imagine, I mean, all the video, if it's legit, I mean, I would hope they won't false advertise, although they advertise Spud and he's in NXT now. Granted, it might have been a petty thing for WWE, because essentially you may have seen Impact's advertising of Spud may have actually got him a job of re-signing his contract, because he was advertised for Slammiversary. Him, EC3 was in that video. Anderson and Gallows was in that video. Mike Bennett was in that video. So, and then the Bulgarian flag. But I don't think Rusev would be there unless, you know, he's fibbing about COVID. But, you know, I know that Lana's mother and father has it. But he did say on his Twitch that he absolutely has COVID. So that would jack any type of debut up. They definitely won't have him debuting and interacting with people with COVID. So either that was a red herring, which wouldn't be good. Why would he say that he has COVID as a red herring for Slammiversary? That wouldn't be a good way to, that wouldn't be good at all, actually. So if he does, I mean, that if he was supposed to be in Slammiversary, that kind of jacks that up. You know, the jury's still out on that. I don't, you know, I'm not sold on Evil as a main eventer right now. I mean, he wasn't even, I mean, I know he turned on LIJ, joined the Bullet Club. I'm not sold, man. I'm not sold. To me, Evil's not a main event, like, huge name. If anything, they should have given it to Kenta. Kenta should have been, because you have people turn and join the Bullet Club, and then where they're at, you know, and then what? I mean, you had what's his name? Switchblade, Jay White. You had him join. You had Kenta join. you know, you're having all these people join the Bullet Club, and then you have Evil join, you know, and then him be champ. I think Kenta should have been champ, winning both titles, or, you know, Jay White. Although I'm not, I like Jay White as a heel, but I don't know. He doesn't have that oozing type of feel to him to be like, ooh, heel, you know, like he's like that. What word, Malika, were like that panache, you know? So I don't know. He doesn't, I think he's a good heel. I think he's a good heel, but I don't know. What else? Oop, hold on. Yeah, am I looking for panache? Let's see what else? Confidence of style or manner. Yeah. That panache. Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word. So as far as like a big heel. Like if I had a choice of who would have been champ, yeah, Kenta. If not Kenta, maybe like maybe Rusev. Maybe Rusev debuting in New Japan, although he lives in Tennessee, so I don't see him. Unless he traveled back and forth, and you know, you're not really traveling nowadays, so it would have to really be someone in Japan. So that kind of does limit the choices. I'm talking about as far as a big heel, yeah, Kenta. That's really the only person I can think of. I mean, yes, Jay White, I guess, but yeah, I think Kenta's the way to go. Yeah, I mean, that's the more I think about it, Kenta. All right, headlines. What else we got? What else? Yeah, I agree, Desmond. I think Switchblade has his moments. I think that's a good way to put it. I agree, Mike. Oh, praying for your sister, brother-in-law, and three cousins, Alma. Speedy recovery. This is a good headline. Possible breakup between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Mickie James might join Alexa again. I like Bliss and Nikki. Mickie James joining Alexa Bliss. I mean, Mickie James should be retired. She should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, her playing second fiddle to Alexa Bliss is stupid. Absolutely stupid. According to Rusev, social media is pretty much done with wrestling. He's focused on his Twitch and YouTube channels. Well, you can't, you know, I doubt that he's going to make a ton of money doing that. He could. YouTube is definitely a good platform to make a bunch of money. But he's going to miss it. All right, headlines. What else we got? Matt Hardy concern for Jeff Hardy. Yeah, I think Jeff Hardy's storyline should be a WrestleMania storyline. I think if you're going to make it something. Like, make it something that people can really get behind and make it a thing. I would say, like, Jeff Hardy versus someone who can... Yeah, I would set it up. I like Jeff Hardy versus Bray. Like, that would be super nice. You know what? And I'll be even cool with, you know, if Bray won the title, I would be cool with one more Jeff Hardy title run. I would be cool with Bray winning the championship from Braun, and then you have Hardy versus Bray down the line, like after Royal Rumble, on SmackDown. You know, because I think if you're going to do this, do it right and make it like 3 months and put a lot of effort into this thing. And at the end of the, at the end of it, because this is real stuff, man, like Jeff Hardy, like he's had multiple DUIs. He's, of course, we know what happened in TNA with Sting, against Sting. And so this is a real thing to him. You can't make this very trivial. You can't make, it makes, it's stupid. I mean, I work in behavioral health. You know, I'm a mental health specialist. I deal with people who have these issues on the daily, and it hits home to me because I provide therapy to these people. And so I think it's stupid. If you're going to do it, I get, you know, blurring the lines of it. I get pushing the envelope. I understand that it's choreographed, it's predetermined, it's comic book come to life. I get all that, and I'm cool with it. But I think, you want to send a message to people who are recovering alcoholics that you can get through this thing. And I would have really made this a big thing. I'm totally cool with Jeff Hardy versus Bray Wyatt for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. And this alcohol recovery redemption story leads to Hardy beating Bray for the title at WrestleMania and being Universal Champion. So, I mean, I think that I got a pretty stacked WrestleMania card that's pretty super dope. So I've got Hardy versus The Fiend for the Universal title. For the WWE Championship, I have Keith Lee versus Brock. For the Women's Championship for Raw, I have Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair. You also have Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. And Reigns versus Rock. Book 'em. What else? Is NWA shutting down? Why the talent's going to other promotions? That's interesting that you said that. I talked to a very close NWA name today, a very close NWA source today, very big backstage name, and he said, there's no update on when the new season starts for NWA, and he doesn't even know if there'll be another one. So there's your exclusive when it comes to NWA. So this is a very reliable NWA source gave me that information today. All right. Cool. So we got Extreme Rules predictions real quick, and then we'll do Mo's Flavor of the Week. Actually, real quick, Raw and SmackDown grades. Raw and SmackDown grades. Do that really quick. And then no, Willow. Like, you need to do it for real. Like, you need to do Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy for sure. Like full on, like make it Jeff Hardy. Let's see the essential Jeff Hardy. Don't give me no gimmicks. Don't give me no nothing. Like, let's see the raw Jeff Hardy, like go through this thing and make it a real storyline. Have Bray get like all up in his psyche, have the Fiend do that. The Fiend can be like the demons in his head that are trying to lure him to go back. And then, you know, do like play the heck out of this thing. Have Jeff beat the Fiend at WrestleMania for the title. Thanks, Marissa, for coming through as always. See, again, I don't want Willow. He can bring Willow back after Mania for sure. Terrible shows across the board. Raw C, SmackDown F. What else I got? C plus D minus for Alonzo. What else you got? Big guy. The big guy. Man, you're stacked and jacked over there, the big guy. Raw D minus SmackDown D. Raw C minus SmackDown C plus. AJ at Mania. Okay, so I already have a stacked card. AJ's on the SmackDown brand. I think you can do an AJ Daniel Bryan for the Intercontinental title. That would be a solid, solid match there for sure. What else we got? C and C minus. Cool. All right. Flavor of the week. What we got? What we got, Mo? What's the flavor of the week topic? What's the flavor of the week topic? All right, real quick, David. Headlines. Do you think FTR is going to AEW for a couple months? I hear that they got heat in the locker room for not signing contracts. According to that podcast, you blame them for taking control of their careers. No, I don't blame them at all. Not one bit. You're not going to be subject to, you know, they're saying we're not going to be subject to being controlled by any promotion. And mad respect to them for that, for sure. All right, cool. So we got our Flavor of the Week topic by Mo. And join that Patreon and you'll be able to pick your Flavor of the Week topics and future references. So without further ado, let's do this. Let's make sure that I get this together. All right. Let's do this. Flavor of the Week. Here we go.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
Okay, so according to Mo, who do you think is going to TNA? Who do you think is going to TNA? So I think EC3 is going to be there. I think Anderson and Gallows. I think Mike Bennett. I think all of them are coming back to come on the same anniversary. So I don't know if Maria comes with Mike Bennett. Although Mike Bennett's run in TNA was boo-boo. It was boo-boo. I did not like the miracle gimmick at all. It was bad. It was a bad gimmick. EC3 was big. Eli Drake. Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, Eli Drake for sure. I like Santos Escobar and his Legado del Fantasma group. I like it. It's a good way to make something out of Joaquin Wilde or DJZ and Raul Mendoza. I mean, that's a good way because both of them were just floundering, and that's a good way to put them in a stable. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a good way to really push the cruiserweight division because you have a really strong heel with Santos Escobar. All right, so here we go. EC3, Eric Young, Anderson, and Gallows, Mike and Maria. Yes, I do believe Zack Ryder. He teased it last week. Yeah, I did hear they're teasing Aces and Eights again. So Ken Anderson. Yeah, I mean, I mean, it was like during his debut. Sure, I liked his music too, but I mean, the Miracle gimmick was this. Boo boo. It was boo boo for sure. Arabian Prince wants Yuko and TNA. Yeah. Cool. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. So Slammiversary is this weekend. And let's do some predictions. Hugh Slater. I think you mean Hugh Slater. Maria and her husband, aka Mike Bennett. I'm not sure about Hugh Slater. I mean, you know, that guy's he's green. He's got a lot of work to do. he's got a lot of work to do, man. That Hugh Slater. Be sure to you know, give that Hugh Slater guy some love. All right, so we're gonna do the Extreme Rules predictions. So let me bring up the card real quick. Good flavor of the week, Mo. Let's see. All right, so Apollo versus MVP. Apollo's going to win. I think maybe you'll have Lashley end up winning that. But again, Lashley should beat Drew at SummerSlam. Simple as that. He should beat Drew at McIntyre at SummerSlam. McIntyre should get it back. I wrote this on Sports Kita. This is how the rest of the year should be. Drew loses to Lashley at SummerSlam. Drew gets it back at Survivor Series. Lesnar comes back the Raw after Survivor Series and, you know, challenges Drew. He beats Drew at Royal Rumble. Keith Lee wins the Royal Rumble. Keith Lee challenges Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship at Mania. Keith Lee wins the WWE Championship at Mania. I can definitely see this, Shane. I can definitely see EC3 winning the Impact Championship for sure. He definitely has a ton of talent, and it looks in great shape now. I'm glad, you know, great transformation there. But his miracle gimmick was just really bad. I mean, I liked the and ROH, he was really good with oh my gosh. Oh, that's gonna bug me. The Kingdom. their ROH gimmick. The Kingdom. He was really good in the Kingdom. All right, so Mysterio and Rollins, eye for an eye match. I think Rollins, I think this is a way to write Mysterio off. I think, you know, because he's not even under contract as far as last time I heard. So I think this is a way to write him off. I think Strowman beats Wyatt. This time, I think Bayley beats Nikki Cross. I think Asuka beats Sasha Banks. Or as Tony Atlas would say, Sasha Banks. And Drew McIntyre, of course, beats Dolph Ziggler, man. I just don't do it, WWE. Don't do it. Don't make the decision to totally ruin what's already going downhill. Like, just as much as I like Dolph Ziggler as a talent, if you really have him running the flagship show with the numbers that you're having now, you've officially told me that and the rest of the pro wrestling world that you don't give two craps about what's going on right now. Shane totally buzzkilled this whole good show by saying, out of spoiler for your WrestleMania, remember it's WWE. Keith Lee wins a Mania and then Otis casting it on him and wins the title. Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. Like I said, I think Otis is going to use the title, the cash-in briefcase for Mandy, for his peach. I think Mandy Rose will be champion. And even Mandy Rose may be Bayley or Sasha or whoever. I think Mandy Rose will eventually be champ. I think Dominic turns on Ray, Justin. I think he turns on Ray. I said this before. I actually wrote an article about a month ago. Dominic will turn on Rey Mysterio. Definitely think that is the case. PNP Nation is still a lit chat room, man. It's fantastic. I had a wonderful show tonight. Shout out to all the first timers for joining the PNP Nation. We have a great time, a fun show every single week. It's been fun. It's been absolutely fun, as it is, as always. You guys are awesome. Be sure to like, share, subscribe. Be sure to subscribe to the Pancakes and Power Slams YouTube channel. Just type in Pancakes and Power Slams. Type in Pancakes and Power Slams YouTube and subscribe to that. All right. Been fun. Check out my interviews every week. I got a huge confirmation. Huge confirmation of who's going to be my guest next week. So be sure to follow at Chris Prolific to see who the guest is going to be for next week for my Q&A for the Sports Key That's Unscripted. So check that out. It's going to be fun. I'm really digging this dual show. I'm really digging the Unscripted and PNP. Y'all know y'all my family. You know I have the best time over here at PNP. It has been 8 years straight, 433 episodes, period. Yeah, I charge them for swear words. I should do that. This would be funny, especially since I tell everybody, I don't care who you are. I've said this to Goldberg. I've said this to Booker T. I've interviewed 12 W Hall of Famers, Ricky Steamboat, Rikishi, Teddy Long, Bushwhacker Luke. I can't think of all the Hall of Famers that I've interviewed, but I interviewed 12 of them. Every single person I've said, my show's PG. No profanity, please. I don't care who you are. And I told everybody, no profanity. I don't care if you're Goldberg. I don't care. You don't use profanity on my show. And so they slip it. And so Shane, I said, no profanity. And so he started throwing S-bombs out there, and he apologized. But Shane's cool, though. Yeah, DDP. Oh, thanks, Mike. Yeah, DDP is a Hall of Famer I interviewed as well. Twice he's been on the show, actually. So Shane is super cool dude, man. But he kept doing it. He's like, oh man, I'm sorry, like during the show. So I appreciate him doing that. So it was fun. Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate your love, man. Yeah, I actually wrote for Sports Kita about 2016. I was a feature columnist there, and an interesting story. I was at Wrestling Inc. and got an opportunity for Sports Kita. Good paying job, good paying opportunity. Left Wrestling Inc. And then got to Sports Kita, wrote about 100 articles for them. I wrote a bunch for them. And then I left Sports Kita because I got an opportunity at Wrestling Inc. again. And so I left Sports Kita. It was an amicable departure, and that was 2017. I left, and then I stayed with Wrestling Inc. for another 2 years. Left Wrestling Inc. As y'all know, back into 2019, August, I believe it was. September or somewhere around here. Then after that, Fan Buzz. Well, I was already at Fan Buzz. Fan Buzz treated me. Fan Buzz was a great company to write for. They totally. They were great to write for. Their structure in WWE, like writing, got different. So my tenure ended with them, but they were great. They paid for my WrestleMania trip. So yeah, it was fantastic. It was great. Fan Bus was fantastic. The floor seat, I managed my own from the ground up. I got an opportunity to run my own site from the ground up, and it got six figure viewers, monthly viewers in a matter of months. I pulled on JTG to write some columns for me. I pulled on Marty Elias to write some columns for me. Pulled on some exclusives that were reported. So yeah, it was great, man. I end up, that was a really good challenge, but it was really fun to manage my own site and go from zero to, I think it was around 300,000 monthly viewers. So it was cool, man. It was super, super duper cool. Had some big wigs writing for me. But yeah, that got too, I was working on my dissertation. It just got way too busy, man. So, well, you can always give me a shout out, Alonzo. It's so funny. I just talked to Raj today, actually. Yeah, me and Raj are still cool. I just talked to him today. Him and I texted back and forth. Cause I every now and then I catch the podcast. I'm just so busy. I'll check the podcast out every now and then. And I checked the previous one out. I forgot which one it was, but I think it was Raw one. And I'm a mark for theme songs. And so I texted him, gave him some encouragement because he said he was going through some stuff. Texted him and we were going back and forth on I told him he should have said something about the Sting gimmick, about Sting's theme song, and he was asking me which one, and he was telling me like his thoughts on which Sting's theme song was good, and his thoughts on that. So it was pretty cool. I told him, yeah, my Crow Sting, he should have gave some love. I said he should have gave some love to Jericho, Sting, and the Midnight Express. And so that was pretty cool. Yes indeed. You know, here's the thing with Sports Kita, 3 million followers on Facebook, and I have to give my peeps some love at Wrestling Rumors. So I was at Wrestling Rumors years ago and then came back to Wrestling Rumors the end of last year, and you know, Wrestling Rumors gang, shout out to Heidi. Wrestling Rumors, I mean, it's like, this is my home away from home, man. Like she just gives me all the freedom in the world to do whatever and say whatever. And she's fantastic. So, big shout out to Wrestling Rumors, where this Facebook page is, and huge shout out to Wrestling Rumors guys. So matter of fact, just do it. Just give Wrestling Rumors, like, after the show, just post on the timeline, you know, just give Wrestling Rumors some love and say, we appreciate you, Heidi. We appreciate you, all the writing staff and all that. We appreciate all of you at Wrestling Rumors. Awesome stuff. Got nearly 500,000 viewers. Good stuff. Wrestling Rumors. I'm still a Digital Spy. Still doing some freelancing there too. I interviewed Eric Bischoff a few months back for Digital Spy. I interviewed Nick Aldis for Digital Spy. I interviewed my Pancakes and Power Sims interview from Goldberg was written on Digital Spy. I wrote a TV journalism, racial media TV article for Digital Spy. It was great stuff. Cool. I know I don't. I don't, Mike. I don't know who that is. I can find out. I can find out. But I don't want to mess his or her gig up. And I think the mystery is the fun part of it. Yeah. The mystery part of it. Yeah, but give me some love over there, Alonzo, man. It was fun working over there, man. It's cool peeps. Yeah, sure. Yeah, go back and watch some of the episodes with me on them. It was fun. I should do that too. I haven't seen them in a long time. So, all right, I gotta roll, y'all. It's been fun. It's been super fun. Appreciate all the small talk at the end. I was supposed to be ended like 10 minutes ago. No, I don't, Gabriel. I've heard of their stuff. I don't think I've ever listened to it. Maybe a few times. But no, I've never heard of them. I mean, I have heard of them, but I've never listened to their stuff. But yeah, this small talk's fun. Mo agrees. I appreciate the small talk at the end. Yes, I am. In a few weeks, I'll be a doctor. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. I'm about to become a doctor for psychology. I'm on a waiting game. I'm only waiting for one review. I'm just sitting here waiting. They said, we'll let you know by July 23rd. And then after that, I'll be scheduling for the oral presentation. And after that, I will be a doctor, ladies and gentlemen. So that's a good way to end the show. Actually, speaking of Raj, he congratulated me for being a doctor, a soon-to-be doctor. He said, that's awesome. He congratulated me. So that was great stuff. All right, everybody. Enjoy your night. Until next week, this is 433 episodes in the books. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. And always remember, I do it for you. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.